Airport DME checking in. Now, what was that again? Was all that racket? Sound like we got the zoo crew on here tonight.
That way, doesn't it?
Like it'd be a good fox to go hunt. Who knows? Oh, me. So who we got out there? I didn't catch the name or a call sign.
Hey, this is Earl, KK4HXP, over here in Travis Rest.
Earl? I think you said Earl. It's been a long couple of days. But anyway, how's everything over there in South Carolina?
Like a war zone.
Yep, it seems that way. I know it's getting back to some normalcy over here across the pond, but I think Northeast Georgia's got back to normal as far as all the power outages go. I'm still sitting here looking at my map, and it still shows South Carolina, the upstate area, being, you know, up and high in the extreme high numbers, but all we can do is keep praying and hope for the best.
Well, that's the only thing that we can do at this point in time. I mean, it came through here like, I mean, I slept through it. My wife woke me up during the night and I said, it's just a thunderstorm. And then when I got up the next morning, trees was down everywhere. It looked like somebody dropped a nuke on us.
Yeah, we had a war zones over here too when it first happened. What was it, Friday, I guess? Never what day it was. I didn't get all my days confused. But, yeah, it was a war zone over here with all the trees and power lines down. But seems like they got on the ball and got everything took care of. And, of course, I noticed late this afternoon two warbirds. So, flew out of Georgia, heading over there. I don't know if it flew to Oconee or Greenville or Pickens or what, but we did have two warbirds to fly with that direction. Where they went, I don't know, but seemed like they were calling on all the resources they could find.
Oh, roger that. I kind of think they flew over my house. They might have been going up to Oconee. I'm about 45 miles or 42 miles from the nuclear plant.
Roger. Well, I'm right here next to the airport in Toccoa. And we see a lot of air traffic. Basically from Charlotte to Atlanta, Greenville to Atlanta. Sometimes we'll catch a lot of cargo planes, military cargo C-130s flying over from Kentucky going to going to Georgia, but it's pretty bad everywhere. And I've been watching a lot of social media and people's complaining and griping, and everybody's burning the candle at both ends. And I tell you, it's something else.
Get those Hercules 130s. Me and a buddy was playing golf one afternoon over at Donaldson Center, and it got dark all of a sudden, and I looked up, and there was a C-130 flying over. You could have took my golf club and threw it up in the air and hit the bottom of it. Never heard it coming. I mean, it was like a thief in the night, and it kind of scared me there a little bit, but I mean, it came in on top of us. We never heard nothing.
Yeah, well, we kind of live in the valley over here, and we definitely hear them coming and going both. And when they're roughly about 300 feet off the ground, you know, to keep them being on, you know, they fly close to the ground to stay off the radar. And I tell you, it's amazing when they fly over. But, you know, as big as them planes are and the weight, the load capacity and things they could carry, or if they're carrying, and I tell you what, it's definitely an interesting flight.
KK4HXB Friday. Yeah, I was in the Army, and these old big old planes, I mean, they just great. I mean, to be able to haul what they can haul and do what they can do, it's always amazed me that they can put so much weight on them, and they just, like, it doesn't faze them.
I know I was watching I think it was a YouTube video one time or something. I forgot what it's been years ago, but I still remember it like it was yesterday. I've seen them, you know, obviously do it, especially during national disasters, being utilized to drop ship food and, you know, critical supplies. You know, I've seen some, you know, I've seen them during war times when they put tanks and jeeps and all kind of military vehicles in them. You know, I've seen some as big enough to put helicopters in. So, they're definitely amazing, the capabilities that they can be used for.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just amazing. And, you know, they can come in here and drop food to all these people that this storm is hit if they wanted to. But, you know, right now the governments don't worry about us. They're worrying about what they can get their hands into.
They still got the net on here tonight, or are they still using this machine for the net, for the welfare net, or has it been on standby, or what's going on with it?
Well, Roger, it comes on, bars comes on at 9 o'clock, and everybody checks in. It probably runs from 9 till 10, or ever how long it lasts. But yeah, we do it every night.
Okay, is that on this repeater or HF or what?
46610 repeater.
Well, that's good. I know a few hams over here that's, of course, they've passed on now, but they used to be pretty active in the Mars stuff. And I thought about getting into it at one time.
But, you know, it's fun. You know, I've been a ham for 15 years, and I had the nicest bunch of people you'd ever want to meet.
Yeah, me. They are. And I used to know a good many of them, but the ones I know, like I said, the ones I know that used to participate in Mars, the majority of them, I think, is all passed on now. And, back, you know, the ones that used to be active back in the 90s, 80s and 90s, in that era. But anyway, but yeah, it's always, that's one thing about our hobby. As long as that opportunity arises and the door opens, you know, people need to jump at the bit and get in there and get that training, because, you know, all the training you can get, why a ham operator or a civilian, either one, you know, every bit of it, you know, pays off in the long run.
Sure, that's like they told me when I first got into it. It's a learning experience. You'll always be learning something, and that's about the truth.
Roger. You know, it's... Yep, that is true. And everything, I'm just... I need to be asleep, but, you know, I got too much on my mind with all this stuff going on. But anyway, But yeah, I've went through a lot of training, and, you know, been a part of 5 hurricanes. This one, I guess, would make 6 now. So, they all have their own, oh Lord, I lost for words now, but they all have their own, characteristics, I guess, for the lack of better words. But it seems like this is pretty much, you know, the worst one I've seen for our area yet. You know, of course, Irma, and you had Hurricane Irma that hit back in, 2016, 2017, I think it was. And, you know, it done a lot of damage to South Georgia, but eventually it weakened as it came this direction. But I think this one, because it coming in as a Category 4 when it made landfall and maintaining that Category 2 infrastructure all the way through South Georgia, it really done some damage with the momentum that it had.
KK4HXP for ID. Yeah, I was talking to a family member earlier tonight, and he said that the eye came right through Greenville. You know, I live probably about 15 miles north of Greenville, right? I'm probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I could be in North Carolina. But he said, yeah, he said he got up during the night and he heard it, and he says that eye came right through Greenville.
I wouldn't be surprised. I sit here and watched it, for 24 hours pretty much. I was burning the candle at both ends and playing radio at the same time. And the center eye itself was about 50 miles wide, give or take maybe, because the left side of the eye come right over Stevens County. And it stretched all the way over to the east side of Anderson County as it continued its track northeast. And I think a lot of people were thinking it was going to track towards Charlotte, maybe, or that direction. And there was a front, for the lack of better words, to the left of it that kept it on a northeast track. And it tracked, pretty much straight up toward Asheville, which I knew it would based on what I seen on the radar and everything. And then it, they even have a record with 70 mile an hour wind gust all the way up into southern Ohio. So that, it went all the way up into southern Ohio with some of the conditions.
Roger that. Yeah, we got another one supposed to be hitting us about Wednesday.
I'm watching it too. It's supposed to make landfall, I think, on October the 5th, give or take. When I first started tracking that particular storm, it was actually going to come into the west panhandle of Florida and track up through Alabama, and then the next day it tracked towards southern Georgia, and then I think it was yesterday I looked it up and it was tracking pretty much parallel to this storm. So it's, it's still really too early to tell because the tracks are, all over the place. It's not really stuck to one pattern yet based on the GFS model. But it's definitely going to be a storm to watch next week.
Yeah, I'm trying to get all my radios back up. I'm trying to get my HFs up, and I'm talking to you on a handy talk, portable. And I've got out of it and kind of been dormant for a little while, but I'm going to get back into it. And all my friends are telling me, well, it's time for us to get our ham license because if something happens, then we will have a way to communicate. Roger.
That's one thing. It's, being a ham gives you a lot of variable tools in your toolbox, being a ham operator, and knowing the, the radio spectrum and what bands you got, works, ham radio, GMRS, FRS, and all the other ones. So it does come with a lot of knowledge attached to it, and a lot of training as well. So every little bit helps when it comes to communication because it's so well needed and driven on.
Friday. Yeah, I got my GMRS, and GMRS, that gives everybody in the family, that you can hand them a radio and they can talk to you. And I've got open repeaters that they let me use. So now I need to get those radios out and get them get them programmed and hand them to my family members.
One thing I've looked into too is, GMRS is still a wide playing field when it comes to repeaters because, I don't think there's an organization out there that mandates repeater sites. So it's definitely an interesting platform right now. Because, you got Sierra coordination for ham radio repeaters, but Sierra doesn't coordinate for GMRS or any of the other commercial grade repeaters. So it's definitely interesting.
I've been thinking about putting me up a repeater. And, matter of fact, I'm in the process of looking into it as we speak.
This definitely could be used. And, I know a good bit about it. And there's a lot of networks out there, out toward Texas and up north and northwest and, on the west coast. There's a lot of different groups out there and wide area repeaters that are linked together. And, I've even seen it come, down the grapevine to where the FCC's cranking down on some of these GMRS groups that are linking their repeaters through the internet, which is not against the FCC rules. So, based on what the FCC is, their rules and regulations are that everything, if you do link repeaters, that they have to be RF linked, not through the internet. Typically that's the way it should be linked anyway. Because, as we all know, that the internet's not a reliable source of connection or communication. But more the merrier, I guess.
Had a group that we had for a while. I've had a few of them pass away, and every night about 10 o'clock, we had about 8 or 9 of us. We came on 1-4-6-6-10, and we kind of done I call it the redneck comedy hour, and we all had a good time. I mean, and my wife was telling me the other night, she said, y'all need to get that back up and going. I said, well, I got to find everybody, because I don't know where everybody's at now.
Yeah, I bet so. All right, well, I'm going to jump off here. I just wanted to check in and throw my 2.5 cents out there and see if there's anybody around monitoring through the nighttime or whatever, because I know there's a lot of Western North Carolina and Tennessee people, and even down in South Georgia are still hurting, and still people's, having trouble with welfare, traffic, and all that kind of stuff. So, anywho, I'm going to get back over here and see what's going on and see what I can hear on the HF bands. But good to hear you. Take care over there. If you need us, you know where to find us. Hold the fort down, and we'll talk to you later. 10-4 DME will be clear on your final.
So, you ought to get on and check in and talk to some of these guys. Nice bunch of guys you'd ever want to meet.
I think we doubled on that first half.
You can come in at 9 o'clock and talk to the bars. We do it every night, 365 days a year, and it's just a great bunch of people.
I thought you said Mars like the military group, but you're saying Mars like the Greenville Radio Club.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, come check in with us.
Roger, I do from time to time, and I've been checking in on the 610 net for over 20-something years, basically almost 30 years now, ever since I had my technician ticket. And, I can remember when Gary first started calling the net on Wednesday nights with the SWAT net that I used to listen to religiously, like most people. I can remember back when, way back in the 90s, when Sue used to be part of the Greenville Club and work a lot of the Ham Fest over there. And, oh, Lord, there's a ton of them I used to remember over the years that used to belong to that club. And I always like going by the booth over there at the Greenville Ham Fest, or the, a few times I've been to the Spartanburg Ham Fest, I think. But I always used to stop by the Greenville Club booth and get me a big old brownie or a piece of cake or something, because that was one thing that Sue done way back when.
Yeah, Roger that, Gary. You know, he calls me, like I said, on Wednesday night. And I think they're getting ready to have their little ham gathering. Every October they do it down in Anderson, right on the lake.
I try to keep up with all of it when I can. And everything. All right, well, I'm going to jump off of here and get back to what I'm doing and roam around the bands and see what's going on in the HF world. See if anybody's got any traffic going on. But good to talk to you, and come see us sometime. Maybe we'll have a cup of coffee or a donut or something, or throw some hot dogs or hamburgers on the grill if you're ever over this way.
Oh, Roger that. Well, same here, and go and enjoy your night. Hope everything works out in the future, and I hope you get through this next storm. And myself, and I hope everybody gets through it okay. I'm going to go ahead and just continue monitoring KK4HXB. I'm just going to monitor Earl.
Well, you know, for the ones that's been affected, which I think, and to some extent, we've all been affected by it, I hope the storm next week don't materialize, but it looks promising, to say the least. And if it does materialize middle of the week out in the Gulf, from what I've seen so far, it looks like it's going to be maybe a Category 1 or a Category 2 hurricane when it makes landfall. So it's definitely going to be something to keep our eyes on in the middle of the week. Talk to you later. N4DME.
Yeah, Roger that. KK4HXB, I'll be monitoring.
NWX, now monitoring.